I hate that we're having to record this early, but we're going to be doing the media thing this weekend. Welcome back, by the way.
I know. It's been a long time.
It's been a couple of weeks since you've been on.
What, two? Three?
Two.
Two?
Two. 2 weeks.
Wow.
But we're going to, yes, yeah, we are. We have to record this early, and I hate it because, man, there's a lot going on. I mean, you have the elites are fishing Lake Fork, and, I mean, it is just after lunch on Thursday, folks, and Patrick Walter's got 32 pounds in the boat. I haven't checked up, but the Tackle Warehouse Pro Series is on Lake Murray, which is where we're going to be the rest of this weekend. And the National Professional Fishing League is on Wright-Patman, which is in Texarkana, Texas. So you got two tournaments in Texas and
here.
And one in Murray. And, I mean, I guess the only thing else you could have would be an MLF event somewhere. But you got some of those guys are fishing the Tackle Warehouse Pro stuff, like Casey, Ashley, Justin Lucas, Anthony. Gagliardi's fishing there. So if you're a fisherman, there are three tournaments. Let's see. That would be both my desktop side-by-side and my laptop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate.
I've got three battery packs over here charged up for this weekend because I know we're going to be on phones and stuff like that all around the boat.
I have a confession, though.
What?
This morning.
Yes.
My teacher in Spanish, when I was at North Greenville, she walked out of the room to go print off papers.
And did you?
I pulled up my phone and started watching basketball. Oh.
Great.
All the people around me were like, what are you watching? And I was like, none of your business.
Watch Bass Live. When you got Patrick leading and Brandon in third, you're going to watch Bass Live wherever you are. But I assume the forecast stays the same, that right now South Carolina is being flooded or deluged with rain. So I hope you're having a good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina. And, yes, Taylor's back.
I am back. I know y'all miss me
at least
so much.
For one Saturday. I might boot her or ban her from another one.
You missed me.
I did miss you.
Yeah. Rain all this weekend.
Yeah,
in Columbia.
I know.
That's just dandy.
And up here,
Sunday
too.
Looks pretty.
Sunday looks good. Yes, tomorrow. Yeah, should be good. So hope y'all are making those plans to find stuff to do indoors, and there's fishing tournaments you can watch. Which begs the question, are we going to venture out in the monsoons to cover Lake Murray?
I'm down for an adventure.
And we have good rain gear.
I lost my pants. I'm telling you.
How do you lose waterproof fishing pants?
I don't know. They were in the rod locker last time I saw them, and they're not there anymore, so I don't know where they went.
Are they behind the second seat before the third seat in the Toyota?
Say
in that,
again.
Trough. You know how the seats are folded down in the Toyota?
Yeah.
Are they in between there? For some,
good
check
question.
There. No, you didn't check there. Okay. Well, I guess you just get wet from the waist down.
That's fine. I'll deal with it.
Oh, me. But yes, so having to do this a little early so we can be out on the water at the Tackle Warehouse Pro Series tournament on Murray, where, just like everywhere else, all the fish are in all different stages. I mean, they're pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn. I believe you got some herring bite stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I know when I talked to Anthony back in when we were in Texas, spent a good bit of he and you see his face and Stephen Browning. He and Stephen Browning and Cliff Crochet had a place down on the lake, and practically every night, Cliff and I were down there eating. The host was just great. Oh, man, that guy, John, he's a really nice guy. But anyway, he was there to cook. And so we went out there and ate well every night, practically every night, and talked to Anthony. And, he said it's kind of the same thing as anybody's ball game. And no local knowledge was going to help him because the fish are going to be caught, 10 different ways. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I know not everybody has marshals down there, so the live leaderboard is got holes all in it, but Anyway, let's do the calendar. Do something substantive and keep me from rambling on. As always, brought to you by Visit Anderson and
Green Pond Landing and Event Center.
My chapter of the National Deer Association, the Foothills Branch, is having a banquet Thursday, May the 6th at 6 to 9. It's called Foothills NDA Beer and Deer Night. Going to be at 6 Whitley Court, Greenville, South Carolina. And that's it. That's Brewery 85 out there on the 85 Frontage Road, kind of down from St. Joe's Church and School. You're invited. Let's see. Tickets are $50. Your ticket includes two delicious Brewery 85 beverages and a barbecue meal. We'll also have raffles and equipment and guns and stuff. They are capping the event at 150 people.
Okay.
No tickets sold at the door, so you will need to get your tickets beforehand. You can go to foothillsqdma@gmail.com and ask for them there. There is a link here on the Facebook post, so you can get them there. Or if you got any questions, you can roger@woodsandwatersc.com.
Siwi Longleaf Conservation is putting on a lunch and learn with South Carolina's Bob White quail experts. Michael Hook and Corey Heaton are going to be two of the five, and that's on May 4th from 10 to 1. This is a virtual thing, so you can go to register and contact Lisa Lord at lisa@longleafalliance.org.
There's a Sporting Clays fundraiser. The Carolinas, I can't say this, EPAGNEUL, Epignul Breton Gun Dog Club. Let's do it this way. The Carolinas EBGDC is what they call them. So it's expanding our mission and support for the breed in our community. We want to educate more folks, particularly young folks, about how to dogs in the field, shooting sports, and conservation. So help they support the Berkeley High School fishing team. And they invite you here on, oh gosh, this is a difficult one. May the 15th. It's highlighted, so when I printed it, it's really light. It's a Sporting Clays fundraiser. Rain or shine. So, 100 targets, $100 registration fee, lunch by Squeals on Wheels. That's pretty good right there. And you got to supply your own shotgun and ammunition. That's pretty good. Squeals on Wheels. I'm assuming that's barbecue. Squeal, piggy.
I guess.
go ahead.
The Berkeley Big Bass Tour is coming to Lake Murray. It's a three-day event on May 2nd, or actually April 30th through May 2nd. It's a three-day thing. The entry fees are up to $240. Way in sight is Drew Island State Park. It goes from first is 1,000 and 10th is 100 for the cash prize. And they're also giving away some free rods and a 2021 Nitro Z19 Pro package with
Pro
a Mercury.
Package. Speaking of which, we got some. We did a fishing thing over the last couple of weeks.
We did a fishing thing, and
we're gonna talk about that. Yeah.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
It's a good story.
This is good stuff. But what is that little thing you've got there?
Oh well, it's a pro tip.
It's a pro tip, but not fishing.
Yeah. Well, it's our state bird.
Yeah.
Mosquito. Mm-hmm. This is a tip on how to not come in contact with state bird. Add sage or rosemary to your campfire to help keep the mosquitoes and other bugs away.
Isn't that something?
I might try that because I don't like mosquitoes.
No, but mosquitoes really like
they
you.
They like me.
No, Taylor and I did a thing over the last couple weeks, a 3 for 3. That was really fun. So we're going to talk about it when we come back. So y'all hang on. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side.
I'm going to load some new music on here pretty soon.
There is nothing wrong with Four Seasons. Harkens me back to my early, early childhood.
Early.
Oh, wait just to stop the music.
What?
Stop the music. We have a huge announcement.
What? What's the announcement?
It's a...
Oh, it's a boy.
It's a boy. I am going to be a granddaddy to a little boy, which is really cool. It just, out of nowhere, I was like, okay. I had girls. I know how to, I think I know how to handle girls. I probably don't know how to handle them. I know how to negotiate life with women.
Yeah. I'll give that one to you.
Yes. Negotiate life with women so far anyway. almost 54 years now. The really cool thing is, I mean, my wife and I got married in 1992. Mm-hmm. In 1996, so for 4 years, I was 50-50. Mm-hmm. It was a toss-up. We either had a split decision or a unanimous decision. Mm-hmm. Since 1996, when Jordan was born, I've been down 2-1. Mm-hmm. Since 2004, when you were born, I've been down 3-1.
And then you add in the dog.
But the dog loves me more than she loves the three of y'all put together.
Right.
So that's not even an issue. And then in when Daniel and those got married in 2019, mm-hmm. I came up. Now we're down. We're 3-2. Mm-hmm. Now we're drawing even.
Oh, gosh.
It'll be a few years before he has a vote. I realize that. But we the future is bright, folks.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so congratulations to my daughter and her husband. We are ecstatic. It'll be fun.
Have a little junior running around.
We'll have a junior running around. And, you know, I grew up fishing with my granddaddy Mets, and that's where part of my love for the outdoors came from, mm-hmm. was those Saturday mornings with him on the pond eating Vina sausages and paddling the boat for him and running the cows off around the old cars.
I want to know what it was about that truck.
It was a Ford Fairlane, a silver Ford Fairlane, and our cows, it was like a magnet. We parked in the pasture to go fishing.
They start licking it.
And they would just congregate around that Ford Fairlane. And, you know, cow's got a tongue that's like 8 inches long. And just, I don't know what they liked about the paint on the night. I mean, this would be in the 1970s Model 4 Fairlane, probably. So I don't know what they had in the paint. It was lead paint. Maybe our cows like to lick lead paint. I don't have a clue. But, yeah, I chased... We don't have cows now. I guess I could put him out and just make him run laps around the pond. Hey, go take a lap. You need to know what it's like. And I'm gonna have to buy a new paddle for the boat.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So okay.
He's gonna have some good outdoor influences on
him. Oh,
he
is. I mean, Daniel, his dad, is a big hunter, both turkeys and deer, trout fisherman. My counterpart, Bruce, is a big deer hunter and a trout fisherman. Mm-hmm. And then
his uncle, Ben.
Yeah. And the whole way back, you know, Bob and Grady, his great granddaddy. And, you know, so yeah. And then me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be fun, folks. I'm looking forward to this.
Yep.
A lot.
Me too.
It will definitely be fun because all I have to do is spoil the fire out of him and send him back home.
You don't have to deal with them.
Grandchildren are the reward for not killing your own kids.
Yep.
Somebody told me that. All right. So anyway, Taylor and I did so. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. We took a few days while over your spring break. Mm-hmm. And we did a 3-for-3. Now, the third came a week later, but two of the three came consecutive days.
Back to back. Yep.
And that was Lake Murray and Lake Moultrie. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it, Taylor. It was fun.
Well, I had a huge win the first day. I beat Dad.
A huge win.
It was a huge win. And good food, too. See, my original plan was, because we left right after my NGU class.
Yes.
In the morning, and went straight to Lake Murray, and here I was like, ah, oh, lunch at Buffalo Creek Bar and Grill right on the water. And we ended up getting the station too, which wasn't bad. There's like a little gas station.
It's not a rundown gas station. It's a country gas station.
A little rundown. Ow! It's a little
rundown.
You
deserve that.
I'm not saying anything bad about it. Rundown places.
We didn't have time because we had a short. We didn't get down there till almost lunchtime, and we had to leave to get to Black's Camp before 7 o'clock.
Yes,
so we had limited time.
Yeah, lunch was good. I got a chicken sandwich. It was good. And then.
But Buffalo Creek is a place to eat if you're on Murray.
We went there during March Madness, and so it was really nice. You could watch basketball, and then you look to your left, and you could be on the water. that was my heaven.
And you had like an 8-inch cheeseburger in front of you. Okay, so anyway.
And so we went fish a little bit. At first, it was real slow, but I told Dad, I said, this is my trip where I'm going to figure out how to skip right. And I did figure it out, but I caught 2 of my 3 fish sight fishing.
Yeah, which is a first, really. Well, not a first, but a first in recent memory.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun because I like to aggravate people. Those of you that know me, you know I like to do that. Just, it's fun. It's what gives me joy in life. But aggravating a fish is on a different level because I can't say anything.
Different altogether.
They can't say anything. They're just running from you or running to you or trying to nip at you or something like that. It's fun, and I highly recommend it. It's a good stress relief because you're sitting there, and I think one of these dad's going to record me. They're sitting there like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to. Oh, you're
great.
Getting mad now.
Oh,
uh-huh.
The commentary from the. Priceless. I need to get me a yellow tech, or something. I don't have a video camera. So.
I know I sound stupid, but it's fun.
Yes.
So I caught 2 of my 3 sight fishing, and then Dad actually helped me catch my 3rd one because we saw this stairway going straight into the water, and
I love steps.
Yeah, he said, oh, that's a good spot. It was this old wooden ladder, and I was like, huh, okay. Well, I pitched it in there, and more than 5 seconds it was in there, and I felt whoop, and then it went straight down, and it started going zzz, and then I ended up getting it back, and I was like, I think I'm hung up, and then it started coming out. I was like, I'm not hung up.
Nope.
So
good fish.
That was my win on Murray, and then we went straight from Murray to Santee, and we ate at Captain's Quarters.
Yeah, Captain's Quarters in Santee, which is it's 30 minutes out of Cross. We were staying at Black's Camp. First time staying there.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Nice. I mean, the beds were really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just a fish camp. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 two-story buildings with, what, 8 rooms in each building or something?
Yep.
Right there on the water with a little 2-lane ramp in front of you and surrounded by Lake Moultrie and Santee Swamp. And just a neat place to go. The burgers there were really good. The next day, we fished Lake Moultrie, the lower lake, and the wind was up a lot more than what it was forecast to be.
We didn't go all the way across the lake.
So we started across the lake right at sunrise, and it just, I was like, it's not too bad going, but if this wind keeps up, it's going to be bad coming back.
I mean, you don't really realize, you think when we talk about being in the middle of the lake, you don't really realize how big, unless you've been on Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie. You don't
it's
know how big
it's
it
round.
Is. I told Dad, coming out of the little cove, we were looking straight out. I was like, I feel like I'm in Charleston somewhere. Because it was like
the ocean.
The other side of the lake was just so far.
Yeah. But that's Mark Zona and Davey Hyde had been on the week before. Talked to them, talked to Patrick Walters just a bit. Try not to be that guy who just calls for information, but you know, I've only fished Lake Moultrie once, and that was with Patrick, so I just my conversation with him was kind of short on the fishing side. We talked about some other stuff, but I just said, hey, same deal. He goes, yep, same deal. So we did the same deal, and actually the same deal didn't work.
No,
we skipped a lot of wacky worms into cypress trees with zero results.
Yeah, and places that looked like heaven just weren't
deep void of fish or cruisers. Had a lot of cruisers.
Oh, yeah. Some fry garters.
That were just not interested. Yeah. Fry garters were not locked in yet. I did catch a couple fish off the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I beat you.
Yeah, he didn't. He beat me.
I beat you good. Interesting thing. One of the fish I caught had a worm in its mouth already.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. You spent forever on that fish.
I didn't spend forever.
We were locked on this one spot, and I sat in the back of the boat. I just took my shoes off.
Whistle Dixie.
And I just, you know, I'm just waiting over here. You know, I was like, oh, this is nice. Just, you know, I kind of took a break. Cause I was like, I'm winning anyways. He's not going to catch this one. And then he caught it. And then I was like, oh, okay.
And I caught another one. And the third one, I watched, and the water was really clear.
Oh, it was insanely clear.
Crystal clear. The grass carp were going nuts. It's their mating season, and they were just thrashing. I mean, you got 10, 15-pound grass carp just thrashing the water everywhere in all the pads and all. But I watched one fish eat my Senko, and I just stared at it. I was like, I flipped it at him, and he looked at it, and I'm like, he's not going to eat it. And he goes over to it, and I twitched it. And I said, he's not going to eat it. It's too easy. Because he wasn't on the bed. He was just on the bank. And the next thing I know, he just sucked it in. I'm sitting there going, he ate it. He ate it. And then I tried to set the hook. Just pulled it right out of his mouth.
I remember that.
I just, like, really? How dumb can you be? You're fishing. When the fish bites, set the hook. Don't sit there and mentally go through the trauma of going, he's not going to eat it. Okay, he's going to eat it. I can't believe he ate that. So I'm sure we've all had those moments.
Oh, yeah.
But that was good. So,
yeah, the fishing wasn't great, but wildlife was everywhere.
Oh, wildlife was everywhere.
In the first cove we pulled in, right outside of where we were staying, I mean, there were four deer right on the side. And
four deer on the bank, just kind of walking down the edge and getting a drink of water in the morning. And
the ospreys and the eagles were everywhere.
Didn't see any gators.
We did see an osprey kind of going at it with a heron. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, the heron. The heron, that was funny. There was an osprey nest, and a great blue heron was just sitting on a
bunch of lily
mat
pads, yeah.
Of lily pads, and the osprey just kept dive bombing. I mean, for as long as we were in that cove, it was bombing, bombing, bombing.
And that heron just stood there.
Just sat he there. Just, he looked. You know. He avoided the osprey, and so. All right, we come back. We'll give you the tiebreaker lake on the other side of the break. Hang on. Okay, so welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Glad you're spending a little bit of your day with us. I know it's probably raining if the forecast is right. Hopefully it's not flooding. And I understand tomorrow's going to be a very nice day indeed. So Taylor and I were talking a little bit about our 3-for-3 adventure across South Carolina, fishing three lakes in 3 days. So when we left you last segment, we were on Lake Moultrie talking about all the wildlife and all. And that is the really cool thing about being outdoors is you may be out there fishing, you may be out there hiking, you may be out there hunting. But aside from what you're doing, the surroundings are just complete the puzzle.
Yep.
And if you're observant, you see a whole lot more. I mean, the soft shell terrapins we were seeing were really pretty down there. Mm-hmm. Gosh, they were big. The orangey tint to their shells, and any of the cypress trees out in the water were cool.
I love cypress trees.
Saw no snakes last time. Last time I was down there with Patrick, we had one that was peeking at us around a cypress tree. It was really eerie. It's really like stalking us.
No,
or whatever.
What was eerie was hearing that gator.
Oh yeah, we did have one gator come crashing out of the reeds.
Kind of scary.
As we were right up against the reeds.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Lots of grass in down there. So if you're if you don't fish grass much, it's kind of interesting.
Definitely go weedless.
Yeah, you want to go weedless with everything you're throwing down there. Many treble hooks up shallow.
Just pitching very close to the grass. Well, me being me, I'm in the grass and
6 feet.
Get out.
So anyway, just really cool. And then so we had to delay day three. Spanish test.
Spanish test, and then I got a stomach bug.
And you got a stomach bug. So we had to, it was about a week later when we finished, finally finished up, and we finished up.
Lake Hartwell. Started off rough.
Nothing like walking Heart Attack Hill at Green Pine Landing twice because you forgot to put the plug in the boat.
We put in the boat, and I'm sitting there. I dropped him back off. No. You pulled the trailer up.
Yeah, I dropped you up in the water.
I was just
pulled trailer out,
kind of idling it out. I was getting the Garmin units hooked on. I was like,
"There's a drain in our Ranger. There's a drain right between the seats on the floorboard." And we got in the boat.
Yeah, Dad got in the boat. I was like, "Dad, did you put the plug in? Because there's a lot of water down here." He goes, "Dadgummit!" So put it back on the trailer.
We could have done it without. There's a tab on the inside. I can pull that plug up and tighten it out. It just doesn't tighten up all the way, and I didn't feel like dealing with the rest of the day. So
you mean to tell me there was another way?
Yeah, there's another way.
We didn't have to put it back on the trailer and back off the trailer.
This is good practice for you. I'm trying to get her to put on. I'm trying to get her to put it on the trailer.
With it running.
Well, and you just run it up on the trailer all the way to the where it stops at the eye, and then keep the motor running while I start up the ramp. And it's just a coordination of raising the motor and then shutting it down.
It's so scary. And it wasn't. I've done it twice before, and one time the motor didn't trim up on me anymore, and so the motor was still like trimmed down, and I had to, before he pulled me, I had to like switch it to neutral and then get it up and then put it back in. It was just, but the thing with Green Pond is Green Pond's a little more sloped, and when he first got off, when we started pulling up, I felt it slide back up. I said, "Oh," and I leaned forward. I said, "Taylor, you are stupid. You leaning forward is not going to make a difference." But anyway, after all that.
Yeah, after all that, it was fun.
It was fun.
We caught fish. Not as many as I thought we were. Yeah, I thought we'd have caught a lot more. But we ran by all the points. We kind of made a decision. We wanted to just go see what we could find.
Yep.
And we did. The other two lakes were sight fishing, so we figured, well, might as well go for broke and make the third one a sight fishing tournament, too.
And we ran all the way to Georgia for our first.
Well, we ran across the lake to Georgia, yeah.
And didn't like it. It was a whole bunch of clay and
Too many rocks for me.
And
too many rocks.
We found some fish out on the point.
Cruisers, though.
Yeah,
there again, there were a lot of cruisers.
We thought the first one we found was locked on a bed, but the more we watched it, the more it wasn't.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fish just cruising the banks. And also, we came back across the South Carolina side.
And I learned that South Carolina side has a lot more 2-inch brim. 3-inch brim, 4-inch brim, 5-inch brim.
We hit the brim motherload under one dock. There must have been 100 of them.
Oh, my word. I was like, they were all like a little ball, and so I was like, this is going to be fun. So I skipped underneath the dock, and they went.
Yep. Just kind of dissipated. So it was a sight fishing deal, and I beat her by 2 pounds. We were doing aggregate weight, so I beat her by 2 pounds. And I warned her. We found a fish. It was her turn.
This was the first fish I actually caught that day.
Yeah, we found a fish. It's a Taylor's Edge fish. And you're going to have to watch out for that dock cable.
There was one between us and the dock.
And I told her, I said, when the fish takes it, he's going to do one of two things. He's going to run for the dock or run for the boat. And you're going to be fighting that dock cable. Either way, you're going to have to go over top of it. I'll keep the boat, you know, for you. I'll maneuver the boat. You worry about the fish. So, Taylor, go ahead. It didn't take him very long to bite either, did it?
No, because I don't. Were you throwing in there before me, or was I the first one? Because he was aggravated about something. I couldn't remember what it was.
I think I may have. You were, I think, between, because he sucked a worm off your hook.
Oh, yeah, he did.
So I went in there and aggravated him for you just for a second while you were changing. So by the time you pitched back in there, he was ready.
Yeah, well, he took it, and I was like, hot. Dog, he was a decent fish,
too. Probably 3 pounds.
And once you know that sucker took it and went underneath the boat.
Straight from
the cable.
The dock cable is perpendicular to the boat, and that fish runs straight under the boat.
And literally, he came out. Everybody came out. He sawed my line off on that cable.
Yep, I got video of it.
I I was like, how did I get outsmarted by a fish?
Easily.
They
do it well.
But it was kind of funny because, you know, after all the laughs we had that, further back, we went and Dad found himself a little pocket with, he said there were two big fish up there. Well, he's up on the front of the boat. I'm on the back. And he had us like wedged in there a little bit where the bed was up on the bank. And
surrounded by willow.
It was tough.
I mean, I had to skip my wacky worm into a spot that was probably 6 inches wide from 20 feet away.
But I'm telling you, this cove had just a whole bunch of just, I mean,
there were fish everywhere.
You have some little
bass
fish,
everywhere.
You had some decent size. Yep. And I was just, there was really nowhere for me to pitch to. And so I was off the back of the boat just looking, and right beside the motor was this one fish. And I was like, oh, you're not bad. I was like, let's see what you do. And I pitched in there, and he swam off, and he came back. I was like, oh, we have a bed here? And next thing, I watch a brim come in, and that fish chased it out, came back in. I was like, aha, aha. I said, I'm going to catch you.
She's a quick learner, folks.
I went in there. It took me about 10 minutes, and it was right there, like, by the boat, so I just drop it in there, and it's in this little green spot, and he would come back around from chasing off a brim. And I'd hop it up, and he'd be like, oh, whoa, what was that? And he'd find it, and he'd chase it back out. And finally, he got to where he'd nose down on it, and I saw the gill flare, and I was like, I got you. And I set the hook, and I caught it, and I was really happy about it. And then we weighed it, tallied up the weight, and then I'm on cloud nine over here because I feel so successful. And then I hear, daggum it. And I said, well, he goes, that is the second Cinco I've lost on that tree.
I'm telling you, this bed, once we got up, because I went back and got my Cincos. I was not losing two Cincos up there. this bed was, it was surrounded by little willow trees and little sticks and all. And I'm serious. I mean, you could barely fit a Cinco, skip a Cinco in between them. And that's where that fish, the male, wanted to be. And I never caught him.
And it's funny, if you sight fish
females
and bed
right
fish
there
enough,
too.
I've figured out that, you know, we both figured out that if they're locked on something, sometimes the male will not go. I mean, you think, oh, this is close enough. It's not for him.
No.
You have to get it in a specific spot.
I mean, this was like a 4-inch little hole he had, and he was not interested in anything outside of that. It was tough. That's why I never caught him. I could never get it in there perfectly before, because it was on a slope. Mm-hmm. So as soon as it got there and I shortstopped it, it fell and it was off the bed. I mean, it was horrible. But I'm just that way. I'm just stubborn. I'm just not going to let it defeat me. So
he said two more casts,
yeah,
and 30 minutes later, we're
right,
still
yeah.
here.
But I went over there and got retrieved my Cincos. But the commentary from the back of the boat was hilarious. I wish I'm going to buy me a Yellowtech or something, and I am going to start running it on record when Taylor's fishing, because y'all just need to hear some of this. It's so
just
funny.
It's just me giving myself a pep talk and trashing
really,
the fish I'm trying to catch.
So anyway, I beat her on Hartwell by 2 pounds. So
that was the tiebreaker.
The 2021 father-daughter challenge.
We should make that a thing.
We will make it a thing. It was fun. I had a ball.
It was fun.
I mean, we had our moments. We always have our moments. It's an adjustment period. Our personalities are so much alike that while we're apart, we're okay. But when we get together in the same car, it's an adjustment
for 3
period.
Days.
Or the boat, it's an adjustment period. So
especially the boat. We're a little too close to each other.
So anyway. All right. So we ate that one up. Y'all hang on. We'll be back. More Woods and Water on the other side. Both of us are looking at ourselves going, is this bumper music or construction site?
What is this?
Well, just take a listen. You'll figure it out in a second.
If it's what I'm thinking.
Give it away by now. I mean,
I think is what I'm thinking.
Okay, who is it?
I don't know. It is Lauren.
The outfield, yeah.
Man, that was like childhood.
Were you actually, are you smiling and singing?
No.
Folks.
No,
my co-host is smiling and singing the bumper music.
No, not.
It's great. But anyway, yes. And I guess what the whole thing is, just this was our chance. You had spring break. I'm in the middle of tax season. You just had to do it. Mm-hmm. We've only got one more spring break left before you graduate high school.
That's scary.
It is.
Woof.
So, folks, I guess we had a ball. And when you plan something like this and it didn't go, I mean, the wind was up and prevented me from getting to where I wanted to go on Moultrie. There was other things. You know, we didn't have
I got a sweet potato instead of fries.
That's right.
Things happen.
And we didn't get to eat cheeseburgers on Lake Murray. You know, but we did. We went. We did it. We were rushed, and we just had a ball doing it. So I guess at the end of all this, we had a fun. I hope you had fun listening to it. When you get a chance to do something like this, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. I mean, it's just
a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. All right. So a few weeks ago, we been more than a few. I bet it's been a month ago now, and I meant to go back and look and see which episode it was, but we'll figure it out. Matt Ranella wrote an article on the Meat Eater website kind of trashing R3.
And if you don't know who Matt Ranella is, the famous writer, Netflix.
Yeah, he's written books.
That's okay. Yeah, and he's
YouTube,
got a series on Netflix. Steve Ranella, Meat Eater.
Yeah.
This is his brother.
Matt Ranella's his brother. And Matt's Matt Hunt, I mean, he's a brother to Steve Ranella, so they do it all together. You know, they trap together, they hunt together, they have a good time. But Matt's got a little different bend than a lot of people do about hunting and all. And I noticed, and there was a video clip I watched of him one time, and he said, if I'm dead and somehow or another, my kids decide or society decides that hunting is no longer needed, he said, I'm okay with that. And I kind of makes you cock your eyebrows a little bit. And Steve wrote a little prologue before intro this from Matt. And he said, Matt comes at it from an ecology standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it riled a lot of people because R3 is, recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty much trashed R3 is the way a lot of people took it. And we went through this, and Taylor got into her part, and we ran out of time. So we wanted to come back around and visit it. But you can go to Meat Eater. It was March 24th was the date of the article by Matt Ranella, not Steve.
This came out March 26th, so 2 days later. Four authors of Outdoor Life got together and wrote this, kind of what their take was while reading this article and where they think this should go and trying to make sense of it all.
In essence, a rebuttal.
Yeah. in the nicest way possible. But all four of these, they have 140 years of experience between them. And they're from West, Midwest, Northeast, and they're what we call real hunters. So leave it.
And I'm not saying Matt Ranella is not a real hunter.
No. But just giving some assurance to this article.
Yeah.
So the first article that was written by, let's see if I could find it. I think it was the same one. I lost my place in all these. Okay. So Andrew McKean.
You read his first time we went through this. Parts of it. Because you got kind of rushed and we had to wrap it up.
But
and we've
the
got
last
6 minutes to go, so you best keep going on this one.
I'll just do this one then. Okay. John B. Snow. So hunting is not a zero-sum game. When reading Matt Ranella's article, two things occurred to me. It's either a whole show put on by Meat Eater crew to distance themselves from something they have tried so hard to build, which is a world for real hunters. He relates to kind of like when somebody stops hanging out with their friends after realizing the rest of the school thinks they're dorks. And he said the second thought would be, or it's honestly just perspective, and that it's the thing that is ruining hunting is other hunters, which, in my opinion, is so very far from the truth. I mean, certain hunters can ruin hunting, but Okay, so when he was younger, there were times he would get annoyed when he would go steelhead fishing and there would be somebody in his pool. But
one of Matt's points was R3 is bringing more people into an already crowded environment of decreasing accessibility.
Right. And he said, but he got over that a long time ago because, for one, he realized that the future of the outdoor sports, that's been such a deep part of who he is, who all these riders are, who we are, it depends on the next generation. And the next generation won't come unless we encourage it, unless we help. And he said, another lesson I've learned is that encountering other hunters and anglers doesn't mean that the game has disappeared. He said, yeah, I may not be able to fill a tag. I may not be able to catch his fish, but it's not the end of the world. It's more people out here. And he talks about he went to Colorado with a friend. They pulled up on the spot they wanted to go to. There was a person there. And they were a little frustrated, but they went to a new spot, and his buddy shot a really nice bull. And so you just never know what opportunities are going to come like that. And, you know, when he said, if I was less experienced, then I would have been discouraged, but I wouldn't have known the outcome that it would have been when we got to the next place. And said, I've learned to hunt and fish around other people. It's a skill like any other that we need to master. He said, so to answer Steve Ranella's question posted in his first sentence, which was, do you remember what the first thing was?
Matt Ranella. Have you ever arrived at your favorite whitetail hunting spot hoping to see another hunter there ahead of you?
Yeah. He said, no, I don't hope to see another hunter. But neither do I get angry about it. There have been plenty of times when I've had a great conversation with a stranger that I met in the woods that are in my honey hole or whatever you want to call it. Does it lessen my chance of filling a tag? Maybe. But I wouldn't want to give up those experiences after. I don't know how far I can go with this one.
I need to get to my little rebuttal too.
Go ahead and get to yours.
Okay. So that came out the 24th. The rebuttal came out the 26th, and on March 31st, Steve addressed it. He said, I recently caused quite a stir among our audience with an op-ed published in our website. The piece titled The Case Against Hunter Recruitment was written by my brother Matt Ranella, focuses on Matt's distrust with what is known in the hunting industry as R3. While it sounds like a droid from Star Wars, R3 actually stands for a formal initiative to recruit new hunters, reactivate hunters who have quit, and retain hunters who are currently active. The movement has only been around in the current form since 2016, when advocates took a sort of industrialized approach to the task using marketing dollars and concerted efforts to grow hunter numbers. Matt argues that R3 may not be necessary and that he's not the best use of money that could otherwise or would otherwise go to wildlife conservation. So he goes through Matt's concerns about the impact of hunting pressure on public land. Steve says, when I chose to publish the piece, I knew that Matt's frustrations with R3 were not widely shared at Meat Eater. We promote hunting tirelessly. We incentivize hunter mentorship within our ranks by rewarding mentor employees with prizes such as new optics, free wild game processing, and a day of fishing in a drift boat rowed by a colleague. And they did this National Deer Association Field to Fork program mentorship. So they are. And he goes on to kind of cover himself a little bit. He says, I do recognize our disagreements are based on a mutual love for the outdoors. Matt loves them so much that he wants to see them handled gently, quietly, and privately. No doubt this is informed by his profession as an ecologist. He said, I love them so much that I want to shout it from the rooftops and show them off to the world. When we debate these approaches, we constantly inform and guide one another's perspectives. I like to think that I changed his mind about some things. Likewise, his opinions have informed my own. Such was the case around our arguments about R3. And he kind of ends it up. He goes, whatever your perspective, and despite the risk, we'll continue to share challenging opinions that inspire tough conversations, all to the betterment of the outdoors and the people who go there to work and play. So it's just like my brother and I don't agree about everything. Neither does Matt and Steve. You and I don't agree with everything. But it did quite cause quite a stir. And if you want to read them, all three, the two, Matt's article and Steve's article are posted on Meat Eater. They're good reads.
And this one should be on the Outdoor Life.
Yeah, that one should be on the Outdoor Life website.
If you go and read Matt and Steve's thing, if you're going to do that, read this one too.
Absolutely.
Because you get different points of view, and it gets you thinking, that's for sure.
In anything in life, any opinion you hold, a good debate either does one of two things. It sways you to the opposite opinion, or you find more reasons to believe and support your own opinion.
Right.
Otherwise, if you don't know why you think something and know why you support something, you can't defend it, nor can you convince somebody else to cut to your side of it. Yep. All right, got an important announcement here. Quickly, Taylor. Got about a minute.
I don't know if I can.
30 seconds.
New engine cutoff switch law effective April 1st. From
U.S. Coast Guard.
U.S. Coast Guard, and I don't know. I can't get through all that.
Just the big thing is the requirement. You got to wear a coast.
If it has a kill switch, you have to use the kill switch.
You have to have the kill switch attached. Ross Self said they're going to take about 6 months to before they start really writing tickets for it.
Okay.
But yes, if your vessel has a kill switch, you must have it attached to be on the water. Yep. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We had a good time doing it. Good time talking about our adventures. Hope you have some of your own. In the meantime, don't forget, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
And don't forget the camera when you go. See you next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. I guess I'm gone, Cal.